Our Old Testament reading comes from Jeremiah chapter 11, verses 18 through 20. The Lord made it known to me, and I knew. Then you showed me their deeds. But I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. I did not know it was against me. They devised schemes, saying, "Let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be remembered no more." But, O Lord of hosts, who judges righteously, who tests the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you have I committed my cause. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson comes from James chapter 3, 13 through chapter 4, 10. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy, good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? It is not this that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have, because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is at enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says, "He yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us, but he gives more grace." Therefore it says, "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The good news according to St. Mark. They went out from there and passed through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and were afraid to ask him, "Who is the greatest?" And they came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you discussing on the way?" But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12. And he said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." And he took a child and put him in the midst of them. And, taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
In the name of Jesus, amen. If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. I've heard that one before. I imagine you might have too. It's an important verse in God's word, It's one that I hope you've heard preached a few times. This idea that anyone who would be first must be last of all and servant of all. It's a good reminder for us as not just Christians, but as people. We so often strive to be first or best, even when we're doing things the right way and we try to serve others and to take care of them. A lot of times it can get to our own minds and say, oh, look how good I am at serving. Man, I did that really well. I wish someone else had been there. They could have been just as good as me. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but I've had that a few times come up in my own mind and need to put that old self away and put on the new self. But our problem comes not just in how we understand who should be first and last amongst us. You see, our problem comes when we make it all about us and we forget about the one who was first but became last and servant of all, so that the Father in heaven would raise him up to be first again, that it is at his name every knee should bow and every tongue confess on heaven and earth that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's right. You see, in our reading today, and from Mark chapter 9, Jesus finally gets another time, it so rarely happens, where he gets away with his disciples. It says that Jesus didn't want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples and saying to them the plan. He was telling them what would happen. The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise. Doesn't get much more clear than that. He's telling them straightforward, this is going to happen. But they did not understand. To be fair, I don't know if I would have either. You see, Jesus was doing everything they thought he would do as the Messiah. He was coming, he was healing, he was preaching, he was doing amazing things, putting everyone who wasn't following God in their place even. Well, that would make no sense then for him to die. He's here to set up God's kingdom on earth. Well, that's true, but you see, the disciples, they still weren't listening to Jesus with God's will at mind, but rather their own will, their own thoughts about the way the world worked. Here it says, they did not understand him, and they were even afraid to ask him. It helps to know that this comes after Mark chapter 8, in which Jesus also had told them this before. This is the second time he's told them the plan. But the first time, Peter took him aside afterwards and said, Lord, far be it from you that this would ever happen. You should not die. Come on, Jesus, that's not the plan. Why would you die? You're the Messiah. Now, if you know the story, it doesn't go well for Peter. Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Here he was, thought he was doing the right thing, saying, Jesus, no, I don't want you to die. I care about you. I want you to live. Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Because what he was saying, of course, is what Satan would love to have happen. Satan would have loved for Jesus to not become servant of all. Satan would have loved if Jesus had decided, you know, I don't think I will die on the cross. I don't think I will give up my perfect life to save all of humanity. But Jesus knew the Father's will. He knew the purpose for which he came. He who was first of all came to be servant of all, came to die for you and for me in our place. Jesus Christ, the one who of all of us could ever have said, you all should serve me, came instead to serve you because he loves you. Now, not only did the disciples not understand this, and not only were they afraid to ask because they saw what happened to Peter last time, they said, well, we might as well talk about something else. And they started arguing about who's going to be the best one of them. Who's the greatest disciple? Who's going to be the first in heaven? We know later on, even James and John, their mother, says, so Jesus, you want to save a spot for my sons? right next to you at the table, one on your left and one on your right, that'd be great. This is a continuing problem amongst the disciples and amongst us. So often, it's easy for us to think, I'm doing things well. I'm doing things great. You see, it's kind of funny. This is paired with our reading from James chapter 3, which kind of goes against another set of verses that we're used to hearing. So often we're used to hearing certain verses that tell us God is the one to lift us up, the brokenhearted. We hear, you have turned my mourning into dancing. We hear that God is the one who's there to lift us up when we are broken, when we're hurting, when we're sad, when we realize our own sin, when we realize just how bad things can be in the world. God is there to lift us up. But then on the flip side of that coin, there are a lot of times where we're not feeling brokenhearted, when we're feeling pretty good about ourselves, when we're feeling like the disciples saying, yep, I don't have good weeks all the time, but this one was a good one. I think I'm doing okay. For that time and for those feelings we might have, we have James to put us in our right place. James says, be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Okay. That's the opposite of, you have turned my mourning into dancing. You want to turn my dancing into mourning. This is not right. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. James isn't telling us that we're really awful and saying, well, be better at this. Be better at not thinking you're too good. Be good at not thinking you're too good. He's not saying that alone. He's saying, when you have a right understanding of yourself, when you understand that you are a sinner, know that Jesus Christ, he will exalt you. He will lift you up. Don't make it your job to lift yourself up. Trust in Jesus Christ alone. We also have our Old Testament reading from Jeremiah 11, which reminds us the same. Jeremiah, in verse 20, he says, O Lord of hosts, who judges righteously, who tests the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, the people who are trying to kill him. For to you have I committed my cause. He's not saying, God, give me the power to go, you know, beat these people up or to talk them down and tell them how wrong they are. Jeremiah says, nope. Lord, I'll let you put your vengeance on them, for to you have I committed my cause. I'm just following you. I know that in doing that, there will be some joy and also some pain. For Jeremiah, lots of pain and lots of hardship. Putting his faith and his trust in God as the one to lift him up. Having the wisdom from God, as James says, to not think highly of himself, but to trust in God alone. That's what we learn from Jeremiah's lesson. That's what we get to learn from James. That's what we get to learn from Jesus. Normally, I feel like a lot of times our readings talk about how when we are low, God lifts us up. But also today we are reminded, when we're thinking too highly, it's good to help bring ourselves down. It's good to be just right. Not too hot, not too cold, but just right. Baby bear's porridge of the heart. There you go. Our Lord has saved us. He has taken care of your sin. Our Lord also reminds us, through his own very life, to not think too highly of ourselves, to not lift ourselves up and ask, well, Jesus, which one of us is doing the best here? Which one of us is most deserving of your love? Because in reality, none of us do. Each and every one of us, the Bible tells us, if we've committed a sin, if we've broken the law in one little way, it's as if we've broken the whole law. Each of you are even as bad as me. We are all equally bad sinners. We are all equally loved by Jesus Christ. Back to our gospel reading here. Jesus, having heard that they were having this discussion, he doesn't tell them, get behind me, Satan. Whew, dodge that one this time. Rather, he does say, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. So you see, Nathan's really the best of all of us. He had the kids down there. Good job. No, sorry. For this to really hit home in its full understanding, it's helpful for us to think about what Jesus was really showing them with this object lesson of a kid instead of keys. He was showing them that even this least of all in the community should be lifted up as greatest of all. You may recall that before this, we've also had the feeding of the 5,000 men, not counting women and children. In their community, in a social setting, men were given a little more authority, given a little more credit and honor even. Below that, in that society, women, and far below that, eventually you get to children. Children, just learn, do the work you're told, listen and don't speak. I was told the same when I was a kid, but maybe with more colorful language. You can imagine someone in my position might have talked a lot as a child. For children in that day and age, they might have been allowed to be off on the fringe watching Jesus talk to the disciples. But as Jesus is there teaching his disciples, he leaves them behind, walks over to maybe the corner or the hallway where you have a kid peeking around to see what's going on. And he picks up the kid and brings him over and says, this one. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. If you receive and lift up and care for this lowest member of our society, you've received me, Jesus, who is indeed making himself the lowest of all society. And in fact, if you receive Jesus, not just him, but his Father who sent him, when we do receive those who are in society lower than us, when we do care for others and lift them up above our own selves, when we choose to show greater care and kindness to other people, we're doing it for Jesus. We're doing it to show, look, he who has made himself lowest of all to save me, I want to be like him. I want you to understand how great it is that he's done this for us. You get to stand in the place of Jesus when you lift others up, when you do it in his name. When you receive others, when you care for them, when you look after them, when you bless them, especially with God's word and with his love, you do it in Jesus' name. And the hope is that they would see your good works and praise your Father in heaven, that they would praise the one who sent your Savior, that they would come to know him as their Savior, that they too would understand, even in our lowest, especially in our lowest, Christ is there to lift us up and to exalt us. It's a good reminder on our up days and our down days, all the time, our Savior loves you. The fact that he died for you on the cross is true on the days you're doing great and the days you're doing poor, or the days you think you're doing one or the other and you're actually opposite. Get really confused on all this. In all of your days, Jesus Christ has come to serve you. Today, when we are in our worship service hearing God's word and we receive his body and blood, we are being served by him. Too often in worship services, we think, yes, I'm here to serve God through my praise. And certainly it is good that we bless him through our praise and our honor for him, coming to him in prayer, asking for forgiveness. But we come here to be served by him, served through his word, served through his very body and blood, given for you. Jesus Christ has become your servant, that he might exalt you and lift you up, not just in this life, but lift you up before your Father in heaven, making you right before him, making it so that your sin is not what God sees, but the very life of the servant of the whole world, reminding us that even when we are not the best servants, when we have done wrong by God, we are actually made right by him still through our Savior Jesus. It is in him alone that we put our trust. It is in him alone that we can have our mourning turned to dancing. It is in him alone that we know we are saved, we are loved, and that we too will be lifted up to be with all those who've gone before us in the faith and are with our Father in heaven now. All of this is yours in Jesus' name. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
And may our Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look on you with his favor and give you peace. Amen. And go in peace and serve the Lord.